Adventures in Research.
Okay, down there. Hoist away.
Look at it, would you? I never saw the beach in all my born days.
Yeah, sure, now it makes my neck stiff just to look up at it.
Oh, now, Terry, it'll be scraping the sky before they're done. Scraping the sky.
Aye, that it be, my lad, that it be. Imagine now, a building 6 stories high.
The first skyscraper. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of Peter Cooper and the first skyscraper, that amazing structure that towered 6 whole stories into the air. But before this first skyscraper stretched up into space, it had to be born. Born in the mind of a young man from New York. His name, Peter Cooper. His age, 22. The year, 1813. The War of 1812 is on. Peter Cooper sits at a long table, snipping cloth for uniforms.
You know, Jamie, I've been thinking.
Thinking don't help. What we need is more people working in this shop. Mercy sakes, got enough orders here to keep half of New York stitching. Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper, when you told me you was going to open this shop, I said you was daft. Plum kissed your senses goodbye. Why, I said, what right has he, a measly apprentice, got to talk about opening a tailor shop of his own? Well, sir, I got to hand it to you, Mr. Cooper. I bet there ain't a tailor shop in all New York that does more business. What's the matter, Mr. Cooper? You ain't sick or nothing, are you? Got sort of a funny look.
No, Jamie. I'm all right. I was just thinking, maybe we ought to get out of the tailoring business.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper. Let me see your tongue. You must be sick. Go out of the tailor business? Why, Mr. Cooper, you gone plumb, stark, raving, lunatic, or mad?
Isn't that what you said when I told you we should quit making wagons and start a tailor shop?
But look, Mr. Cooper, the orders is coming in like sand through a rat hole.
No, Jamie, no more orders. We'll finish up what we have on hand, and then...
Then what?
We'll convert into a furniture shop. Build furniture. Chairs, tables.
Furniture? But we don't know nothing about building no furniture.
We can learn, Jamie. When the soldiers and sailors get through fighting, they'll want to spread out and turn west. Homestead. And they'll need chairs and tables to put into those homes. Yes, sir, Jamie? We're going into the furniture business. What do you say to that?
Say? I say you gone plumb, stark, raving, lunatic, or mad.
So the young lad who started out as an apprentice to a wagon maker taught himself the tailoring trade, converted his shop into a furniture factory. The orders poured in, and business was good.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper, if I say so myself, business is good. Why, we got orders enough.
Jamie,
to...
I've been thinking.
Well, I figure that by this time next year...
How would you like to buy me out?
We could, buy you out? Are you daft, Mr. Cooper? What on earth you got on your mind this time?
I've been thinking, Jamie, I'd like to open up a grocery.
Grocery? Grocery? You gone plumb, stark, raven, lunatic, or mad?
No, ma'am. Mr. Cooper don't have the grocery no more. Ask me if I wanted to run it for myself. Like to bowl me over. Oh, Mr. Cooper, I said, what you gonna do? Oh, ma'am, he said something about... starting a glue and eyes and glass factory.
Then in 1828, Peter Cooper built the Canton Iron Works in Baltimore, Maryland. He had at last found his place in the scheme of things. He was on his way to greater fortune and greater adventure.
What do you think of steam locomotives, Barnes?
Oh, pretty intriguing, Mr. Cooper. Been doing quite a bit of reading about this... Stevenson in England. Looks like he just might have something.
Think we could build one?
Yeah. That's a good one, Mr. Cooper. You are joking, ain't you?
Hmm?
I mean, well, shucks, Mr. Cooper. What do we know about steam locomotives? Nobody yet's really proved they're practical.
Well, I think we ought to try. I've been doing some reading, too. It seems feasible. We could build it right here at the works. Now, I've drawn up a few designs, and I'd like to...
Here she comes, Pete Cooper's Tom Thumb.
It was the first steam locomotive in America. Peter Cooper called it the Tom Thumb, and it was about the size of a modern hand car. As a locomotive, it was no speed demon. In a match race with a horse, the horse won. But it was the beginning of the Iron Horse in the United States. An iron horse bred by Peter Cooper, a man who couldn't stop starting things. By 1856, Peter Cooper had moved his iron works to Trenton, New Jersey. He was the first to introduce the Bessemer process in the United States. And he had another idea.
That's right, Barnes. Buy all of them.
But, Mr. Cooper, that's $75,000.
I know the price. Tell them in England we'll take them all.
But all them rolls of iron? What do you aim to do with them?
Build a house.
A house? Out of iron?
Why not? Why couldn't you use wrought iron beams to support the floors?
Mr. Cooper, you've gone plumb...
I know. Stark, raving, lunatic, and mad.
Yeah.
But why couldn't it be done?
Use wrought iron beams for building supports? Well, it's unheard of.
No, it isn't. You just heard it.
Oh.
Why do we have to use wood or stone? Iron is stronger, will last longer. Use beams like a railroad track, shaped like a letter I.
All right, Mr. Cooper, you're the boss. $75,000 for rolls. I suppose you're going to roll the iron right here at the factory, eh?
Right.
$75,000. Excuse me, Mr. Cooper. Did you say this was going to be for a house?
That's right.
A house for who?
For all humanity.
The first beams were rolled at a cost of $150,000. They were 20 feet long and 7 inches deep. Cooper rubbed his hands with eagerness. And then came an interruption.
Fire! Fire!
What building is that?
Harper's, the publishing house.
Well, looks like they ain't going to be able to save it.
Colonel Harper.
Now listen, Peter Cooper. You know perfectly well that I know what you're about. You can't keep a secret in this town. Now look, I've got to build a new building. Lost the warehouse, the printery, everything. Well, this time I want to see that it won't go up in smoke. Now I hear you've got some wrought iron supports. A metal skeleton for a building means less danger of fire. And I wager it's a great deal cheaper than stone. Now, how much do you want for every wrought iron beam you got and can make?
So the first building to utilize both horizontal and vertical iron beams in its skeleton was the Harper Building in New York City. But it wasn't the last. Most architects understood that Peter Cooper's iron beams gave more support, more strength, more fire resistance at less cost. Orders poured in for beams for private buildings and for more than 100 state and federal projects, like the Philadelphia Mint and the Capitol Dome in Washington.
This has to stop, Barnes. Every time we get a few beams ahead, in comes another order.
What's so bad about that?
What about my building? We've delayed it, and I'm anxious to get started. Think of it, Barnes. A house for humanity, where young people of all races and creeds can receive a free education. A house devoted to the advancement of science and art, and applied to their useful purpose in life. I have all the plans ready.
Is your drawing for it? You don't mean you're going to build it that high.
6 stories, Barnes.
6 stories? Mr. Cooper, I know I've had my doubts about you in the past. But this time I've no doubt of it at all. You have gone completely loco.
But Peter Cooper's building went into construction. Every last detail, carefully supervised by Cooper himself. Wrought iron beams supported the floors, all six of them. More stories than any building had ever had before.
Oh, take a look at it. That's how high she's going to be. Got the skeleton of it up already.
Oh, she'd never get me that high in the air. No, sorry. If I ever go into that building at all, I'll keep to the ground floor, thank you.
Oh, it ain't the height that bothers me, Terry. But nobody is going to be climbing six flights of stairs.
By 1858, the building was nearing completion. It was the tallest edifice in all New York.
One thing I don't understand, Mr. Cooper, this round space here. What's that for?
Oh, it's an elevator shaft.
Elevator? What elevator?
On account of the great height of the building, we'll have to install a passenger elevator. You don't think I want people walking up to the sixth floor?
Now, just a minute, Mr. Cooper. I think one of us has got off the track here a bit. Let me get my bearings. Now, if I understood it right, I asked you what this space here was for, and you said...
Yes, I said...
You said a passenger elevator. Now, you know, and I know, and we know, there ain't one that a body'd trust to pull them up and down six stories. You know that, and I know that. So what kind of malarkey is this about putting in a passenger elevator when there ain't one to put in? I ask you, Mr. Cooper. In the name of common sense, Mr. Cooper, are you listening to me?
Oh, I'm listening, Barnes. But I was just thinking, why couldn't we...
No. No, I ain't going to listen. If you say you're going to build the elevator yourself, I'd say you'd gone plumb, stock, raven...
Yes, Peter Cooper designed his own elevator for his own skyscraper, Cooper Union. He even designed a ventilating fan for the building that still operates on its original bearings. Today, a century later, Cooper Union still stands. Long since dwarfed by the real skyscrapers, Peter Cooper had helped pioneer. Dwarfed physically, perhaps, but not in the service it renders. For Peter Cooper's skyscraper remains dedicated to a lofty ideal.
Where young people of all races and creeds can receive a free education. A unique educational institution devoted to the advancement of science and art.
Yes, Peter Cooper, creator, designer, industrialist, and inventor, helped lay the foundation for the fabulous New York skyline when he designed Cooper Union, the first skyscraper, and a monument to a great man's adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.